Welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. If you have the desire to be your own boss, create your own schedule, and become financially free while at the same time helping people in need, then you've come to the right place. At GroupHomeRiches.com, we teach people exactly like yourself how to get started in the group home business. And on this podcast, you're going to hear their stories firsthand.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Group Home Riches Podcast. Today's episode, we have an amazing guest that you guys are going to get a ton of value from. And Lakeisha, you're going to get a ton of value as well because you have a very good problem to have. So we were just talking about, before we started the recording, we were talking about how the Gold Course, which you guys, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see on the screen here, a lot of our students, you know, drag their feet and about getting started, like they're wondering if they're going to get the Gold Course or not. They get it, then they get their first property. And for a lot of people, they think that that's the finish line, like that's the top of the mountain, right? But me and Andy were just telling Lakeisha here that no, that's just the very beginning. So we're going to kind of touch on that and kind of talk about the next steps once you accomplish that first hurdle. So before we get into all that, Lakeisha, thank you for coming on, and why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
My name is Lakeisha. I live in Detroit, Michigan. My husband and I started Hicks Helping Hands last year in 2022. We have four children, and we are just looking to do something so we don't have to punch a clock by the time we're 55. And I personally don't have long for that.
Great. So when did you start following us?
I started following in 2021, but I had a major surgery, so I was down for a few months, about 8 months. And then we just started really going in April of 2022, and it's just really taken off.
So it's been about, is that a year and a half or so?
Yes.
Like a year and a half since you really decided to start taking action.
Just start taking action, you know, everything from starting the business name, to everything that we needed up until now.
Perfect. And before we started the call, we were talking about how you have the first property, which I want to get some details on that as well. But tell the folks a little bit about the current problem that you're having.
The current problem that I'm having is I don't have enough room. I need more properties because the need for this was way larger than what I could have ever imagined. My phone rings every day, all day, for people looking for a room.
It's a good problem to have, right?
Yes, it is. It's a very good problem to have. Never have a problem with replacing somebody once somebody's left.
Perfect. So like we were saying, the getting that first property, it's really just the first step. For most people's long-term goals, that's just the first step. It's not the ending. At this point, basically, you know, you've learned the group home business. Now it's time to basically become a real estate investor because you need more properties, right?
Yes.
When you first started out, you probably weren't thinking of yourself as a real estate investor.
Or maybe I was, because I've always wanted to have real estate since I was younger. My great grandfather did it, and he owned two blocks, and it was just like it was family. So this was something that I've always known that I wanted to do. I just didn't know that I wanted to go into the group home aspect of it. But I do like that much better than having just single family renters.
Yes. And we'll kind of touch on the issues that the people that do that have. let's rewind a little bit. What's your background and what were you doing for work before you found us?
I have actually two jobs, a medical assistant for Henry Ford Hospital in Michigan. And then I also work for a company called Zoe. I help people with heart problems with defibrillators. So I have two jobs that I do.
Okay.
I would like to not be a medical assistant. I would probably forever deal with the heart patients just because I have a strong interest in that and I enjoy what I do. I don't really punch a clock, so I see patients sparingly, but you get to develop relationships with patients. So I like that part of it.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, this is Andy. You guys know what I do, right? I mean, buy real estate. We run these group homes. Been doing it for 20, oh shit, long time. I've been doing it for a long time. So yeah, about 20 years, a little over 20 years. So that's about it. We can go into details later on, I guess.
Yeah, we're going to give Lakeisha, we're going to show her, kind of lay out the foundation and like the next steps to become an investor, basically. So awesome. Yeah, we got Lakeisha's background. It's pretty much the common background. She works in the medical field. I was just about to ask, but Lakeisha, I'm guessing you probably have the caretaker personality, meaning that you feel energized when you're helping people out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does something for you to be able to help somebody.
Yeah. So she just said, even if the group homes take off, she's probably still going to want to help people in the heart. Like, remind me what you did relating to the heart again.
I work in the pacemaker world. So I help people with defibrillators that they wear on the outside until it's time for them to actually have to go have the pacemaker surgery. Perfect. So I fit them with defibrillators.
And she's going to continue to do that, Andy, because she enjoys it. So
yes, I am.
Yeah, I love it. So what brought you to us? How did you go from, you know, working in the medical field to searching how to start group homes?
I actually had rental property that was left to me when my uncle passed. And I had a renter during COVID time, and I was just like the worst experience ever.
That's what I'm dealing with right now. I still have them, even though I always tell everyone just run group homes. I don't even eat my own dog food sometimes.
Listen, I will never do that again. That was the worst experience, especially with COVID, because when that came out that people didn't have to pay their rent, people were really taking advantage of that, and the court systems was down. So it took us like 2 years to get these people put out for non-payment. I'm in Detroit.
Oh, the worst of the worst. Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah. And then once we finally got them out, they tore the house up so bad. Yeah. And it took so much. It took like $130,000 for us to put our house back together again.
Yeah.
To even be able to get it going for the group home. So I will never rent to a single family person again. I don't care what their story is.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I sent this out at the beginning of the quote unquote pandemic. The CDC obviously issued that illegal moratorium, and it really was illegal. But then again, you know, it just depends on which cities want to follow those moratorium guidelines issued by the CDC. Now, that being said, if you went and looked at the shelter guidelines for actual shelters, and group homes would fall underneath shelters, those moratoriums did not apply. So if you had a group home, you were still good to go. I mean, you'd go right on in there, you'd pick those people up, and you're like, get out of here. You're gone. Because you're basically running a hotel / shelter / care home. So none of those rules apply. Right.
It don't apply because the setup is different. And I love that about this. Although I will say that since we started renting out, I've only had two people actually leave. And we actually have two homes. We have one for men and we have one for women. So I think they like the situation too. So it's a win-win. You know what I mean? It works.
Let me throw something out. You know you're getting really big when you don't just have homes for men and you don't just have homes for women.
Okay.
You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I'm talking about when you start setting up homes for binary, non-binary, this, you know, all the people that, you know, identify as cats and dogs and things like that. That's when you really realize, wow, you're really stepping it up.
Okay. And I hadn't even thought about that because you get so many people or so many women that don't want to be in the same house with men. So that's kind of how I ended up separating it. So I didn't even think of that. So absolutely. I want to be in that category.
And I'm telling you this with a smile because it sounds so ridiculous, but it's actually real. But the smartest thing you've done so far, yeah, you definitely want to have men separated from women because you don't want anything crazy happening. But yeah, there is another group of individuals out there that men that identify as women, women that identify as men. And again, a lot of the older folks, you know, call it 35, 40 and up, they think that that sounds a little bit crazy, but the younger generation kind of gets it. And a lot of these caseworkers and social workers, they have people that fall into that category. And again, it might sound
absolutely wild, but
yeah, it's just, it is what it is. And there's a need for it.
Well, I just didn't think about it. I understand it by being in the medical field because I've worked in like behavioral health. And, you know, like when they want to change or become the different sex, they have to go through the behavioral health part of it just to make sure that they're mentally strong enough to handle everything that comes with it. So, it just never occurred to me to think of that. But I am the older crowd, though.
we have a call.
And that's why a lot of this stuff, it astounded me at first. Because we were seeing this 15 years ago, and I would mention it to people, and they really didn't believe me. And now, you know, it's all you see on the television. You know, there's 25 genders and blah, 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 blah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to being able to say I'm one of those people that have houses for everybody. I'm one of them.
Anyway, sorry for interrupting. I just, as I'm driving here, I had to interject real quick.
Hey, Lakeisha, if you want to hear how to handle one of those calls, you could go to our live marketing calls in the course.
Okay.
You'll hear Andy talking with a nonprofit like that. So.
Okay. I'll definitely go check it out.
Yeah. And as you guys say that, my call after the podcast, we're hopping on a call with one of our Done For You clients with an organization that most likely caters to that crowd. So that actually is something, this is something that we do need to think about, you know, moving forward. Speaking of those organizations, so not those in particular, but Lakeisha, you mentioned your phone's blowing up, right? You filled up two properties. And about, like, how long did it take for you to fill the properties once you had them ready?
Once I marketed, oh my God, maybe 2 weeks. Maybe. Like, and I still have people just on a waiting list that contacts me monthly. Like, are your rooms still full? Do you have anything available yet? Like, it's just unbelievable.
And you're in Detroit, right?
Yes.
So, like, one of the keywords that we recommend is rapid rehousing. Is that one of the, like, the how you found?
No, that is actually not how I found it. To be honest with you, I found all of my people through Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, okay. Facebook Marketplace Perfect. Is incredible.
Yes. Everybody that I have staying with me has come from there. I have one guy. He's a younger guy. He's 18. He's from Africa. I talked back and forth with his brother in Africa for 2 months. He was coming here to go to school and he was supposed to be here from May to December. Well, he has already confirmed with me that he is not going back to Africa. He is planning on still staying with me until he's finished with his 4 years in school.
Beautiful.
Let me ask you a question. Are you doing much in the way of housing for folks that are on SSI or SSDI?
I haven't even tapped into SSI or SSDI. I really right now have all cash patients. I work in the hospital world, but I have all cash tenants.
Self-pay. Yeah.
Yes.
Love it.
Hey, just talking about the future, right? Because we wanted to kind of show you how to scale this thing up. I pulled up on screen a couple of the larger programs in Detroit. So there's the Catholic Community Services. There's Hand Detroit. These are some of the organizations that you're going to want to network with. So,
No,
it's not as fast. So that is one of the ways we recommend marketing once a person does have the house set up. is to market to the general public, and you will get a ton of calls by that. But these larger organizations, like, they're the ones that have the big funds for deposits, the guaranteed checks, et cetera.
Okay.
Like that call that we were talking about, that the Andy was talking with the nonprofit for the LGBT crowd. I think they paid like $3,000 up front, if I remember correctly, Andy.
Yeah. And then you've got the double deposits, sometimes even triple deposits. Interestingly enough, if I can just make a quick comment, I do think that sometimes if you get out there and you find something that's working, and this is obviously working for you, just keep doubling down on it. I mean, it's working for you. So yeah, by all means, you know, if you wind up getting in with one of the nonprofits up there in Detroit, try it out, see how it works for you. But in my opinion right now, you've already found, every city's a little bit different, right? So you found something that works in your city, putting ads up on Facebook Marketplace, and you've got these properties filled up, I mean, in a couple of weeks. I would just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay. Like, my ultimate goal, and I'm trying to figure out how to get into this, we have so many abandoned schools around here that is just boarded up and not doing anything. If we could ultimately get a school and turn these rooms, the classrooms, into actual rooms and be able to use the whole school and like a community with the bigger parts, like maybe a hairdresser salon or something like that, I think that would just really be a good thing. That's like my ultimate goal, because I've been going with the heart patients. I have been going into some of these older schools that they have turned into apartments.
Well, that's where these relationships with these larger organizations are going to come into play. It's not as quick. They definitely don't move fast. It's a lot of like circling back and developing that relationship. But long term, these can be, you know, great contacts. So that kind of relates to what you're doing, Andy. You're not doing like schools or anything like that. But why don't you tell Lakeisha like some of the projects that you're working on that are related to?
Yeah, I mean, most of my stuff is, at this point, it is pretty non-traditional. Frankly, more than anything else, I'm just looking for opportunities. And most of my opportunities are going to be outside of these tier one markets. And obviously Detroit, Warren's probably a little bit better than Detroit, just because the, you know, you don't have as many, you know, kind of city rules and regulations. But anything, I mean, I'm just speaking off the cuff from people that I've been working with for a long time. But yeah, I think that stuff in Michigan, you know, in a place like Detroit or in or around Detroit, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity. So you go out there, you hunt for deals, you look for stuff that's, as you had mentioned, abandoned, distressed. It's got an owner that doesn't necessarily know what to do with the real estate. Uh-huh. And if you've got money, or if you don't have money, but you've got time, energy, effort, you know, you just go out there and you make things happen. So to answer Brandon's question, I've been just looking for stuff like what you're talking about. I haven't done anything like that, like no schools or no building retrofits, but there's a lot of hotel conversion opportunities out there, at least that I've found, kind of older distressed hotels that do need fixing. We get in there, we fix them up, and we rent them out on an extended stay basis. So I've been doing that. Mobile home parks, I like that a lot, because it is, you know, in essence, it's low income housing.
Okay.
So I like that a lot. And then I really like, at this point, just because it's a lot easier, I like loaning money out. So that's kind of what I've been doing. And then I try to find people, younger people that are hungry and energetic, that, you know, maybe don't have the capital, and then try to partner up with them so they get a piece of the action. But they're running it on a day-to-day basis. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
I want to be able to expand. So now that's where we're running into, like, being able to get another home or get another four family flat or something to that extent, so that we can have room for the people that I just got on hold.
If I was in your shoes, I would be don't expand too quickly. You know, try to get another house. Oops.
Yes, that's it. That's what I want right now is another house. I'm just saying that my future goal is to try to do something bigger down the line. But right now, I would love to just have another house.
What's the strategy for the next property?
As far as people moving in or...
As an acquisition. Are you going to purchase? Are you going to need to rent the next
property? No, I want to... We would like to purchase a property versus renting.
Thank you.
Just because I don't want them to think that they're renting to us and we're actually renting this out to other people. And then it's a lot of things going on in the city where people don't be actually owning these houses that they be renting out. So I would just like to rent just to know that, own just to know that I own the house. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. We're not paying you all of this rent money to get a note stuck on the door saying that we got to move because you're not the actual person that rents this house. And that goes on a lot in Detroit.
Well, you need to be upfront and honest. Most landlords, when presented the opportunity correctly, they go for it. So it really just depends on resources. So do you have capital or are you approved for the next property?
We haven't been approved, but we actually haven't tried to take out a loan yet. We wanted to have cash on hand to just like buy a house. We were thinking about trying to go through the land bank to get a house, just hoping that we don't get one that just need a massive amount of work. So right now we have money to the side because we were planning on going through trying to go through the land bank.
Okay. It's the same conversation with everybody. So whether you're looking for a landlord to rent from, or whether you're giving this idea to a local bank, or even if you're looking for a capital investor to really scale this thing and purchase a school, it's really about presenting the business model, the advantages and the disadvantages. And it's about what is in it for the person on the other end, the potential business partner, basically. So
Think of,
even if it's a landlord, or a private investor that wants to fund, you know, your school project, think of them as business partners. So, Andy, let me know when you're back on. Looks like we lost you for a sec. There's a couple things in the gold
post here.
Yeah. So we were just talking about finding business partners, basically, Andy. So,
yeah.
You know, even working with a landlord or where Lakeisha's at right now, she just needs to basically just get approved for some type of loan for the next property. And again, Thinking ahead, if you need to find a private investor to fund a massive project like a school conversion, right? It's all about pitching the opportunity to the other person, the business partner. So if you go to important documents, you'll see a sample business plan to acquire capital.
Okay.
Andy, do you want to touch on that a little bit?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I will. Okay, so number one, I started using that during the last recession. And, you know, look, these recessions usually happen about every...
Hello?
Brian and I, we've done some webinars on this. Yeah, these recessions happen about every 10 to 15 years, just the way it goes. And we're in the process of entering one right now. So having that blueprint that Brandon is talking about, it's the ultimate. You guys still there?
Yep.
Yeah.
It is the ultimate. So I used that during the 08, call it 07 to like 2010 recession. And that single-handedly probably allowed me to buy, 15, 20 houses. And remember, Those houses back then were like $50,000. So what happens during these recessions, all the money gets sucked out of the economy. So you have this huge sucking sound, and it's all the money getting sucked out of the economy. And when money gets sucked out of the economy, nobody's there to go buy up these properties. And if the people that are there to buy up these properties, either they're really rich, which I was not, or they've got some sort of special niche that allows them to get the money. And so like back then, I could use this blueprint and this document right here to go get like SBA financing on single family properties. Why? Because it was considered an owner occupied property. It wasn't an investment property. It was owner occupied for my business. What was my business? My business was a group home business. Okay. So,
okay.
I mean, it's vitally important for the folks that are listening to this to recognize how important it is to have a business plan. That's a $5,000 document, $10,000 document. And that document alone, if you just do quick math on it and you're able to go out and you're able to buy 10 houses in the Detroit area for $25,000 a pop, you're into it for $250,000. And then once they start pumping money back into the economy, those little $25,000 homes are worth $250,000, which is totally reasonable. Next thing you know, you got rounded up. You got $2.5 million worth of free and clear real estate.
And when you pitch in banks, Andy, like what are the main kind of just high level, what are the main advantages that you're trying to get across to them? Like what do they want to hear from you?
Okay. So number one, your debt service coverage ratio is super important. So your debt service coverage ratio is your net income that your business is producing divided by whatever your mortgage payment is. So for sake of argument, if you have a house that's bringing in $4,000 a month and after expenses, it's bringing in, you know, call it $2,500 a month, spendable money. And you've got a debt on it of $1,000 a month. You do 2,500 divided by 1,000. That's your debt service coverage ratio. Normally, okay, if you go out there to buy real estate, you're lucky if you can get a 1.25 debt service coverage ratio after putting down a large down payment. Okay. But with the group home business, your DSCR, it's going to be well in excess of 3. So this is like unheard of. Most of these banks are like bending over backwards to do loans for you once you can show them what your debt service coverage ratio is. Now, number two, they don't want just a pro forma debt service coverage ratio. They'll work with you potentially if you've got some background, but what they really want to see is they want to see historical numbers. Okay. So my biggest advice that I can give people that are in this business, pay your taxes. At the end of the year, when you're doing your tax returns, don't write everything off. Show your income. If you can show your income, the bank is going to be that much more likely to give you money.
Okay.
So really important. So number one, your debt service coverage ratio, which we go over all the stuff in the business plan. Number two are your tax returns, because you've got historical financials once you've got a couple of years of tax returns. And then your business plan right here, I mean, it actually shows them that you actually are taking this business seriously.
Okay.
Right? You can't just go out there and be like, yeah, I want a loan. Like, nobody's going to give you any money. Maybe somebody like me would give you money if you've got collateral. But generally speaking, I mean, you need to go in there, you need to be professional, you need to show them a business plan. Yeah, they want to know that they're making a smart loan.
Got you. Because I noticed that, like, the banks won't do anything with us in regards to the business until we've been in business for 2 years.
You got it.
So the most we can get is a debit card.
Yep.
Well, that's true. But again, just think of the overall idea here, Lakeisha, is that you're going to be pitching your idea and your business to the other person. So like Andy said, Andy's one of these people that he will loan money to investors. So maybe that's the route that you need to go if a bank won't work with you. At the end of the day, the bank or the investor or the landlord that you're working with, you just need to show them that you make, that you're profitable. And that you're going to pay them on time. At the end of the day, that's all they want.
That's the most important thing. And like Brandon was saying, once you start going to these meetups, real estate groups, things of that nature, you're going to come across people that are landlords. They own 5, 10, 20, 100 houses or whatever it is. And they're going to want to work with you. They're sick and tired of doing all the work.
Okay.
And that's okay. A difficult point to get across. I remember when I was younger and I didn't really have any money. I'm like, man, why would anybody want to give me money? You know, why wouldn't they just go do it
right.
themselves? I literally used to ask myself that question. Why wouldn't they just do it on their own? Well, these people are, you know, 35, 40, 45, 50, 65, 70 years old. They don't want to do it anymore. They're sick of it. It's a lot of work.
Okay. That's what it is. It is a lot of work, but I'm willing to do the work. And I see the need for it. And I also see the profit end of it as well. So
you got it.
I like it.
It's a supply demand equation. Let me throw something else out. There's not that many businesses that you can get into where you can work really hard and make a lot of money. Most businesses, I mean, look, if you're like a nursing assistant or a phlebotomist or whatever, I mean, like, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you work 50 hours or you work 80 hours, you're still only going to make your 10, 15, 20 bucks an hour. This business, you got to work hard and you got to be smart, but like, it's scalable. I mean, you can make a lot of money in this business if you're willing to put the time, energy, and effort.
Yes, I do work for the hospital, but I really only work for them like once a month. My other job is like, I make my own schedule, and I love that I can make my own schedule. Yeah. And so it frees me up to be able to do to put more time into Higgs Helping Hands, because that's the name of our business. It frees me up to be able to put more time into Higgs Helping Hands. So I just really want to get it going. I think our ultimate goal is to, like, we want to have at least 5 houses in the next couple years. And I know it's attainable.
You can do way more than that.
So I guess it's just me getting with the right set of people, or putting myself in the right place to be able to talk to the right people.
Can you see my screen, Lakeisha?
Let's see. Hold on.
If not, I'll send it to you. But I pulled up on screen those places where you need to go see those people. So
okay. Let's see.
So these are real estate meetups in your area.
Okay, so I could just look this up, real estate events near me. Okay.
Yeah. So I'll send it to you, but you punch in real estate, your city, and then these are all meetups where people are going to meet new people, new opportunities.
Okay.
You know, believe it or not, this strategy solves a lot of problems, and you felt that. So how did that rental go? Did you lose money on it? Did you profit at all?
I lost a ton of money because they didn't pay rent for 2 years.
So you lost, lost six figures if we're counting the rehab.
Right. That's what I was about to say. And then had to put the house back together. So not only did I lose money, I also lost a lot of time because it took the insurance company maybe 6 months to put the house back together.
And think about it. Best case scenario, these investors, these landlords, they're looking to make $200 or $300 per month if everything goes right.
Yeah, everything goes right.
Yeah, so that's considered a great deal. So, and think of all the stuff that could go bad. You don't have to give the exact number, but ballpark you with this business model, how much are those properties doing? How well are they doing?
They're actually doing pretty good. The one property with the men, because that house is definite, it's a lot bigger. That house brings us in like $3,500 a month. The other house is it's 3 bedrooms down there, and that house brings us in roughly like 22.
Andy, just ballpark off the top of your head, how many rental properties would you need to have, and how much cash invested into those properties in order to cash flow that?
So you'd have to have a ton of them. So, I mean, just like you said earlier, Brandon, you're lucky if you're making $200 a month on a rental property. And the reality is you're not going to make that. I mean, I got the one that I was just at. I mean, I should just send you over pictures right now and you can just post them here. Why don't I do that? You want to do it on sure. The webinar?
Yeah.
I mean, that way people know we're not screwing around.
If you can email them to me, I could pull them up.
Yeah.
Sweet. But I mean, Lakeisha, this is just how, you know, put yourself in the minds of investors and people with capital and people like that. Let's just say you cash flow 300, you would need at least 10 properties.
Yep.
And then
to bring in with the one is bringing in.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, yeah, so you would have to have hundreds of thousands of dollars to even be able to invest in those properties, right?
Well, that's the other thing that's kind of funny right now. I mean, everybody over the last 10 years was like, oh, yeah, I'm making 6% on my money for sake of argument. Like, dude, I mean, these people are toast right now. The interest rates on an investment property are 8-9%, bare minimum. And here's the cool thing about group homes. It doesn't matter if interest rates are 8%, 9%, 10%, 12%, 15%. You're going to be making 30, 40, 50% on your money. So yeah, it's better if interest rates are 5% because you got a larger spread, but like you can withstand nearly anything with group homes, like from an interest rate environment standpoint, you can withstand anything. So it's a beautiful, beautiful business.
I have a question, and it just goes back to the SSI, SSD. I did have one lady that wanted to come in with the SSI, but I did not accept her because it was a thing about being able to use the address as her permanent address. I know here in Michigan that if people use your address, it's considered establishing residency, and then you have to go through the court procedure. So, like, how does that work with the people that are getting the SSI? Because she did not want to do the third-party payment.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you were smart and you avoided a grenade.
Yeah, because and then she cussed me out so bad after I wouldn't do it.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So imagine if she was your tenant.
Because she was planning on scamming you. That's the other thing that's really good about this business. You get real, real, real good at figuring people out.
Yes. And needless to say, she was calling me back like 2 months afterwards because she still needed somewhere to go. But yep. Like, lady, you just exactly. Cussed me out so bad about how I run my business.
Yeah. When people refuse to do that, it's basically they're telling you just gave them one of the house rules and they just let you know that they didn't want to follow that.
Exactly. So I didn't even want to deal with it at all because, yeah, you did let me know that this was going to be a problem. But like, how do you get so the third party payment is the only way to get around that with the people that has SSI and SSD, correct?
Correct.
Well, there's a few things. You can still get set up as the representative payee.
The money would be direct
to you.
Okay.
But these people are they're smart, they're squirrely, they're sophisticated. So you get set up as the rep payee, the next thing you know, they go in and somehow they cancel it. So the money's coming direct to them onto their direct express card. Next thing you know, they're getting the money, they're pulling it out, they're going over to the drug dealer. The drug dealer's getting the money before you are. So again, you've got to be really smart about how you do things. And it sounds like you are. So you'll be fine. I mean,
Okay. Well, the renter has taught me a whole bunch of lessons. I promise you, she did.
Okay. Kitra, how are you doing on time?
I got maybe 10 minutes. No, I got 9 minutes.
All right, perfect. So we showed you the business plan, which is kind of like higher level and a little bit more sophisticated. And then if you go to this video, it's in the How to Run a Successful Group Home section. And the title is, we just titled it Working with Landlords. But to itself, it's like, you know, finding investors. Everyone has the same questions. You're going to need to explain the basics of the business model. And we just told you, like, the biggest thing is the cash flow. Like, this strategy is, if you were to show these investors like a P&L statement or tell them your cash on cash return, they're going to think that it's a scam because they would need to have like $500,000 of their own cash invested into properties to get the equivalent of what you're making on these two properties.
Yep. Gotcha. And the good thing about one of the properties is one of them is completely paid off. The smaller property where the women are, that one is completely paid off. So I don't have a mortgage. I just have like, you know, the yearly taxes on that house. So that is definitely a benefit. The house that the men are in, it does have a mortgage. It's like $600, which is not too bad. But I really want to pay that house off.
I mean, with that type of cash flow, it won't take long.
Let me throw one other thing out. The other beauty of this business is that depending on how much you're paying for these homes, oftentimes you can get them paid off in, you know, 3 to 5 years just with the cash flow.
That's coming in. Yeah, and that's what we're doing. We're just putting the extra money right now just to get this house paid off, and hopefully we can get it paid off in the next 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, where else can you pay off a house in 2 years?
Right, exactly.
It's unheard of.
Lakeisha, this video called How to Work with Landlords, it'll kind of go over, you know, how to find investors. We talk about, you know, going to meetups, talk about what to say to them, et cetera. It applies to, you know, capital investors as well. So at these events, you'll run into people like Andy that are private capital and they're looking for investors to work with.
Okay.
We go over like a sample, quote unquote, script or pitch, but all of it, if you just talk to people, the right people at these meetings and tell them what you're doing and just have a conversation like you had with me and Andy, you know, over coffee or drinks or food or whatever they got going on, they're going to be interested. I mean, Andy, imagine if you didn't know about this business, you were just doing rentals and flips and stuff like that, and Lakeisha walked up to you at a meeting and started telling you about what she was doing.
Oh, I'd love it. I would tell her, hey, here's some of my vacancies. Go out and check them out. Tell me which one you want.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
That would be awesome. So I'm going to start going to these events that you showed me, and hopefully things will pick up for us.
I'm going to send you the link in the chat, but it was pretty easy to find if you don't grab that. All right, so we'll let you get going back to work here in a couple of minutes, Lakeisha. Do you have any parting words for the folks out there?
Don't be skeptical. This really works, and it is a very large need for people out here that need places to go that really can't afford to live off the high rent that's being charged. So if you're in this, definitely stick with it because it's going to turn out well for you.
You had mentioned the website a couple times. What was that?
Our website is Hicks Helping Hands with a S .org is our website. My email is hickshelpinghands19@gmail.com if anybody wants to contact me, or you can reach me at 313-427-1494.
Yep. You got the Group Home Riches website. Beautiful. And If folks have any questions, sounds like they're welcome to reach out to you there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will respond to you.
Yeah, so check out these events and shoot me an email. Let me know how it goes. But I'm telling you, if you just pitch, you know, talk to everybody, let them know what you're doing, bring some business cards, you're going to find people that want to work with you for sure.
I am definitely going to these events. I thank you for showing me how to get to these events because I was kind of like in a stuck space. So yes, I will go to these events and I will let you know how they turn out.
Beautiful. Andy, do you have any parting words for the folks out there?
I would echo her point. I mean, don't be skeptical. Get out there. Brandon, how much are we charging for that golden horse right now?
It's only $199.
It's worth your $199.
Come on, what are you doing? I mean, I'm sounding a little bit crude here, but that business plan alone is worth $10,000-$15,000.
Yeah,
business plan. You get one house up and going, you're going to make $35,000 a year, basically. You know, $25,000 to $35,000 a year. But that's one little house. You know, we charge $199 for the gold course. Anybody out there can afford $199. The reason I know anybody out there can afford it is because half of these homeless people have got $200 laying around.
You're right, but if it's tight for you, stop buying lunch for a month and see what you get. Correct. Stop buying lunch for 2 months. There's ways to work around to get the $199, but it's going to be very well worth it.
Yep. And if you really are flat broke, you know, you completely check to check, bare minimum, sign up for the free 5-part course and you'd study that. You know, the first step we tell everybody is that get your questions answered, learn the basics of the business model. You're going to need to at least do that before you start moving forward and, you know, talking to people about properties and networking with these organizations. You can ask us via chat what those questions are and we'll chat with you. You can email us anytime. In theory, you could probably start this stuff for free, but it's a no-brainer to get the gold course. And then we have a bunch of other coaching products. We do website development, pretty much have everything you need in order to supplement and really get this rocking and rolling if it's something that you do really want to do. And Lakeisha is just walking, talking proof of that. And like
one more comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lakeisha made. The demand for this type of housing is astronomical, and it is not just Detroit. It's everywhere. Every city in the United States has a shortage of this type of housing and a monstrous demand for this type of housing. There are people out there that cannot afford the high rent, as Lakeisha said, and they need a place to live. So it's your job to go out there and find them that housing.
They're waiting for you, and we are too if you guys have any questions. So Lakeisha, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your story. Like we mentioned, this is just the beginning, so we can't wait to see your real estate career blossom now. And we'll have to have you on in a couple months to hear how these next couple properties go for you.
No problem. Thank you very much. You guys have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Okay, you're welcome. Guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a great day, guys.